It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're wrapping up our conversation about the Illinois General Assembly session that ended over the weekend. Lawmakers passed a budget with $800 million in new revenue, but left many major issues unresolved. You can still join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be talking with a number of different advocacy groups about how state policy affects the people for whom they are advocates. Joining me now are two people who work on behalf of communities that are often most affected by state budget decisions. Audra Wilson is president and CEO of the Shriver Center on Poverty Law, which advocates for economic and racial justice. Audra Wilson, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Adam Slade directs state fiscal policy for the Illinois Black Advocacy Initiative and authored a document called The Black Budget Agenda. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having us.
Audra, I want to begin with you. How does this budget affect low-income families in Illinois?
So the Shriver Center views this budget through the lens of whether it or not it takes meaningful steps to reduce poverty in our state. And in our estimation, this budget does fall short. So, of course, we're going to continue to fight for very ambitious revenue proposals that tax billionaires and corporations to fund those programs that help working people. But we believe that this budget doesn't protect us from the administration and the federal government attacks on our most vulnerable population. We see canceled federal grants to our state, fired federal workers who help protect Illinoisans. And we also, unfortunately, have congressional Republicans who want to pass a bill that would cut Medicaid, SNAP, and housing assistance that ensure our most vulnerable people can see a doctor, eat, and avoid homelessness. So this is the reason why it's so important for our own state budget, over which we have control. Really, we'd like to see some more protections for those who are most vulnerable. We did notice, obviously, an increase, though modest, about 4% in the budget, but that's barely over inflation. We do appreciate that there were some closed loopholes and corporate loopholes, but which is good, but it's not sufficient. But something I just want to also point out, that despite this characterization of the bill and that Illinois has a spending problem and not a revenue problem, I think it's important to point out that since 2000, core spending on education, healthcare, and human services is down 9%. If you adjust for inflation. So we're still slowly climbing out of this budget hole that we've had from over 10 years ago under a different administration. So for us, it's a matter of prioritization, and we want to make sure that the most vulnerable Illinoisans across the state are a high priority.
Adam Slade, let's set a baseline with you as well. What is your assessment of how this budget addresses priorities in Black communities?
Yes, thank you for that question. And Audra did a really good job of outlining the impacts in this budget. Black families across Illinois are no different than every other family, even though wealth is disproportionately not in the hands of our Black communities. And so an anti-poverty agenda is often very synonymous with a Black agenda. And so the long-term impacts that Audra outlined are very correct, although we are happy to see increased investment in the K-12 education funding formula. We also are happy to see increased investment in early childhood. We are happy to see that there are some protections against the federal administration around access to hospitals around the state. And we are also in particular happy that we were able to protect a lot of the violence prevention funding that serves a lot of our communities that are challenged with violence. And so often we like to say Black communities are all of us. And so there isn't a special call out in the budget that impacts Black folks, but changing the way that systems operate and serve our communities really is the way that can impact Black communities specifically.
Audra Wilson, where do you see the most significant cuts in this budget, or the areas of concern, I guess?
Well, I appreciate Adam making a very important point that the things that are experienced by the Black community aren't necessarily unique to us. But obviously, when we're looking at populations that have already been disenfranchised or marginalized, any sorts of cuts are going to have a particular impact. So I thank you for really articulating that. And glad that he was also able to talk about some of the things that we saw in the budget that are affirmative, and we certainly want to make sure we acknowledge that. But I still think that there are other failures that we do need to address. We saw a failed opportunity to expand the child tax credit because these are things that Illinois can do irrespective of what's happening with the administration. We still have the power within our own state to take care of our citizens. There was a missed opportunity to expand the child tax credit. We didn't provide cash assistance to families so that we can move towards our state's goal of ending deep poverty among children. Again, an issue that transcends race and ethnicity, but certainly something significant to Black communities. We didn't provide additional funds to address homelessness, which is an increasing problem, and not just in urban areas. And we missed the opportunity to continue funding healthcare for immigrants and other low-income Illinoisans who need it. So I think these are the things that we really have to point out, particularly as Adam and I are both advocates for communities that tend to be disenfranchised, tend to be the first ones that are cut out of these sorts of budgets and not in the conversations that need to be had. But make no mistake, these are issues that impact Illinoisans across the board of all walks. But we do have to make sure to elevate this particular impact it has on people who are already marginalized.
Audra, what do you make of the fact that, I mean, Illinois is said to be this progressive bastion. There are supermajority Democrats in both chambers of the General Assembly. Governor Pritzker easily won re-election last time. If Illinois cannot, make the hard decisions and, impose the tough taxes that I'm sure that you and other advocates for economic and social justice would argue for, what does that say to you about the state of Democratic politics or progressivism in America?
Oh, why don't you give me the easy question? Thank you. Well, it does make a statement. I would hope that Adam would agree with me that at least as it pertains to eliminating poverty, that's a policy choice. And no matter what your political persuasion, we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to make the choices needed to uplift those individuals and families who are living at poverty? Is that something that we are comfortable with? When we're talking about solutions, we need to be thinking about progressive revenue solutions. So, in the previous section or segment, you talked about some of these regressive taxes, including a $1.50 home delivery fee, as it pertained to transit. Now, we understand and we talk about some of the ways that we can actually closing corporate loopholes and making sure that those who have the ability to pay are actually paying and paying their fair share. And we believe very much in that. But we also understand that we want funding mechanisms that are fully equitable, and we certainly wouldn't be supporting anything that is going to be inequitable for anyone in a different part of the state. But these are tough decisions, particularly when you're talking about taxes, when you're looking at some of the politics around there, when you're looking even in the region. There's a lot of antipathy, unfortunately, for folks in the metropolitan area when there's a the between the metropolitan area and the rest of the state. At the Shriver Center, we are very sensitive about the differences between urban, rural, and suburban areas, but we have a much broader lens through which we filter our work and thinking about what are things that are most equitable for folks who are living in poverty or adjacent to poverty, irrespective of their race or ethnicity. But we do understand that sometimes politically it's a bit of a it's a hot potato. There are other interests at stake, and notwithstanding having the supermajority, there are still competing interests that have to be balanced when decisions are being made in behalf of the budget. What we just want is that we don't want those decisions and the backdoor dealings on the backs of the people who are the most vulnerable in the state.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. We are talking about the spring legislative session and particularly the Illinois state budget with Audra Wilson from the Shriver Center on Poverty Law and Adam Slade from the Illinois Black Advocacy Initiative, 800-222-9455. Adam Slade, let me ask you about that. What do you think of the new revenue sources in this budget? How might they affect the communities you represent?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And Audra, I am 100% aligned with you on your view, so no need to worry about that. The new revenue sources outlined are ways to figure out how to raise revenue that impacts folks the least. And oftentimes, several revenue sources will be a little regressive because there is a disproportionate balance of wealth in our state and in our country. And so it is trying to find a mix of progressive revenue sources that have a minimal impact on folks that are most vulnerable, but raising enough revenue to provide foundational services that, if were cut, would have a disproportionately inequitable impact on those most vulnerable. So it's a very specific balancing act that we have to do. And so in the midst of federal funding cuts, I know a lot of state agencies are scrambling to figure out, how do we fund these basic services that, if we cut them, will have a very large and disproportionate impact on our most vulnerable. And so, short of passing a fair tax or progressive income tax or other more progressive revenue sources that would result in substantial revenue, we have to come up with alternatives. And so I am more on the side of ensuring that our foundational spending is protected, even if there are some revenue sources that are a little less progressive than we would like, because the services are just that important. And I would like to follow up with one point. The federal government, in a large way, is trying to undermine our ability to evaluate where spending needs to occur in the first place. They've cut all of these research grants at institutions. They are undermining distributions in key areas of service like education and healthcare, all of which have disproportionate impacts on Black communities. And so I would challenge Illinois to bolster its own data analysis to understand where impact is felt most, and to protect investment in those areas, and maybe make cuts in areas that can handle those cuts or locally fund those services in a new way. And so there's a balance of raising new revenues for service, but then protecting and enhancing targeted investments in communities that need them the most.
We have just a few minutes left in our time together. So Audra Wilson from the Shriver Center, maybe briefly, what would you like to see the legislature addressing when, as is most people expect, it will be coming back into session either this summer or in the fall at the latest? What are you looking for them to do?
Well, one thing, just as I answer that, I do want to acknowledge, I've talked about all the things that I would have liked to have seen in this budget and the concerns that Adam and I have both raised. I do want to acknowledge that I do think that there is a recognition and of the challenges that families living at or adjacent to poverty are experiencing. I have the honor of being able to serve as the chair of the Illinois Commission on Poverty Elimination and Economic Security. And this, along with the Commission to End Hunger and other sorts of task force, are really working assiduously to come up with policy recommendations to share with the state and with local administrators too, about how we can combat poverty and how we can address hunger. So I don't want to negate the effort that has been put forth there. I do think there are things that we, again, need to be thinking about, and certain balances and agreements that we have that we are not going to make on the backs of those who are the most vulnerable. One of the things that I'd love to see, for example, is the maintenance of this, the health care for immigrant adults, which was something that was really landmark, because we've had a lot of ways in which things we've done in Illinois have been groundbreaking in compared to some of our other our peers across the country. And I'd like to see that sort of innovation as it pertains to vulnerable populations. Having immigrant health care was very important, and seeing that cut would mean that there'd be over 33,000 residents who might be sicker and overburdened hospitals. And this is devastating at a time when the federal government is attacking immigrant communities in every way. So that's one of the things that I'd like to see back in the budget, in addition to some of the things that Adam has highlighted. And also looking at taxes and funding. We do understand that there are balances here, but really trying to oppose generally those sin taxes, which tend to be very regressive and disproportionately impact most vulnerable people. So we want to push for progressive taxation. And in the long term, we really need to think about a ballot measure to raise the income tax on the wealthiest people.
Like the one that did not pass a few years ago. Interesting.
That
All
is
right.
True.
Yep. We're going to have to leave it there. Audra Wilson is president and CEO of the Shriver Center on Poverty Law. Adam Slade is with the Illinois Black Advocacy Initiative and author of The Black Budget Agenda. Thank you both so much for sharing your perspectives with us today on The 21st Show. That is all the time we have for today. Coming up tomorrow, There's growing uncertainty among international students studying or even looking to study in the United States after the Trump administration announced it would stop visa appointments at embassies and revoke visas for some Chinese students. We'll take a closer look at what's at stake and what America could lose from that lack of international talent. We'll also talk about why the cost of electricity is expected to spike so much this summer. As demand is up, production is down, and what you can do to keep your rates low. It's all coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.